You know, I gave all the scriptures, my PSN, all the scriptures, but you know, God changed the message, Pastor. So that tells me I'm not in charge, but he's in charge. So you can't use any of those scriptures. But I'll help you through. Is that okay? And I'll go slowly so you can put the scriptures on it. You know, every December, I go and seek the face of God for what God has for us for the new year. And one of these times that when I began to seek the face of God, the Lord was very gracious to give me a glimpse of heaven. And so as he took me to heaven, and I saw people, they were all with white robes, there were a lot of them. And when I gazed into their faces, I somewhat felt that they were very much oriented with a task. In other words, they were full of purpose. They had purpose in their lives. They were doing something. But at the same time, what really touched me was heaven was so exciting. It was filled with excitement. So in my heart, I had a question. Why is heaven so excited? And the Holy Spirit answered that question in my heart. He said, because the Lamb of God is excited. Whenever the Lamb of God is excited, heaven is excited. And then the next thing I had in my heart is, why is the Lamb of God excited? And once again, the Spirit of God answered that question. And he said, because he's coming for his bride soon. And I know only the Father knows the hour and the date. But I want you to know, the Lamb of God is coming for his church soon. And so the Lord began to teach me. He asked me to open the scriptures. And he took me to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Now, while I'm sharing the scripture, they can put it up there. Now, it says, 1 John 5, 7 and 8, it says, three things bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word is none other than Jesus, and the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And they three are one. And likewise, like a mirror image, there are three bear witness on earth. And they are, number one, it talks about the blood and talks about the water, which is symbolic of the Word of God, and the Spirit. And so I heard the Lord say to me, he said, go and tell my people that as the last days are approaching, they need to know to live in the Word, to walk in the Spirit, and to stay under the blood. Can I say it again? To live in the Word, to walk in the Spirit, and to stay under the blood. So let's say together, 1, 2, 3, say after me, I must live in the Word, stay under the blood, walk in the Spirit. One more time. I must live in the Word, walk in the Spirit, stay under the blood. Amen. So today, this morning, I wanted just to talk to you about the reality of the Word of God, the reality of the Spirit of God, the reality of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Now, the pastor said, where two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. So right now, Jesus is here. Correct? So if you really believe that the Lord is here, that means every need will be met. Amen. Correct? Yes. Doesn't matter what need you have, it's going to be met because Jesus is here. I want you to believe that. Yes. Amen. Amen. Now, the sister put some water for me to drink. Now, if I say to you that this water is not ordinary water, this water, if I drink, if anybody drinks this water, you'll become young and you'll be healthy. Now, when I said that, you really now got hold of the reality of that water. Likewise, you need to know the reality of the Word of God. So first of all, one day I was praying and the Lord said to me, son, there are three kinds of people who come to church. Some, you know, are informed Christians. The others are uninformed Christians. And the third group is don't want to be informed. But the Christians who come to this church are informed Christians. Can I hear amen? Amen. Praise God. Church ought to be an exciting place. Yes. All right, praise God. Now, you see, you've got to have faith in His Word. And for example, I'm going to make it easy for you. Now, how many of you have birth certificates? Can I see your hand? All right. Now, when you were born, you will agree with me, you couldn't read nor write. But somebody else wrote the date, and in that certificate put your father and mother's name and told you how, where you were born, in which hospital or whatever it may be. But if I ask you, can you prove to me your date of birth? You will bring that certificate and put it in front of me and say, you'll vouch this is a true copy. Even though you were not there, nor could you read or write at that time. Why don't you give God the same benefit for His Word? Amen. Amen. Now, my wife was reminding me yesterday, most of you have GPS, right? Now, we use the GPS to come here. Now, when you don't know a place, you put the address and everything, and you click the button, and that cute little lady will say, 300 yards, turn left. 300 meters, turn right. Now, she was reminding me, you know, a lot of you may listen to that lady, not to your wife. Right? And so, but you don't know where that GPS is taking, but you believe it's going to take you to the right place. So likewise, you got to respect God's word. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right, let's take a journey now. Now turn with me, if you have your Bible, to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I'll read the scripture for you. It says, all scriptures are given to us by the inspiration of God. Now the word inspiration means to breathe in. So God's word has the breath of God in it. So when God speaks, His life, God's life, goes with the word. Amen. Praise God. Now, if I ask the pastor, the doctor, he will tell me that if he says somebody has expired, that means the last breath has come out of that person. Is that right? So, inspire means just the opposite. That means when God spoke the word, the life of God was in that word. So every time I take the scripture and I read, I must know this, that it has the life of God in that word of God. Amen. Come on, talk to me now. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's why Psalm 107:20 says, He sent His word and healed their diseases. That's why Proverbs 4:20 and 23 says, if you hide the word in your heart, it is life to all your flesh. Because why? The Word of God has the life of God in it. Amen. 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 All right. Now, also, whenever you read the Word, you must know the Word coexisted with God from the beginning. God really doesn't have beginning. He's the beginner of the beginning. But the Word of God coexisted with God from the beginning. So if I need to know about God, I go to the Word. Now, if I say to you, this person was with the pastor for 10 long years, that means that person ought to know about the pastor. Come on, talk to me now. Amen. Is that right? Likewise, if the Word of God coexisted with God, that means the Word of God knows all about God. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. Amen. So, if I need to know God, I go to the Word. Why? For example, Exodus 34 verse 6 says, He's gracious, He's merciful, He's long-suffering, He's abundant in goodness and truth. So that tells me who God is. And that's why John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So every time I read the Word, I know it has the life of God in it. But also I know this word coexisted with God from the beginning. Is that right? Amen. Now, also I must know the word of God has the power to manifest. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, God says, my word that goes out of my mouth will never come back to me void. It will accomplish for what I have spoken. Amen. Come on, talk to me now. Amen. And so, the Word of God has the power to manifest. Now, let me give you an example. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the Holy Ghost comes upon a young virgin woman by the name of Mary. And Luke 1:35 says, the power of the highest, the Holy Spirit, comes and plants in her womb an incorruptible seed called the Word of God. Now think about this. Everything Abraham spoke, everything Moses spoke, everything Isaiah spoke, everything Jeremiah spoke, everything Hosea spoke, everything Joel spoke, everything Micah spoke, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, was becoming a little baby in Mary's womb. When Mary was holding this child, I don't think she really knew she was holding the very books of the old covenant. Really, Mary was not holding him. The Word was holding her. Because why? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, all things are held by the power of His Word. And the Word grew and was 12 years old. And now the Word went to Jerusalem. When they came back, they could not find this 12-year-old little boy. So they went back to Jerusalem, the parents, and found the little boy in a corner room in the temple discussing about the things of the law and the Word with a gray-headed, gray-bearded man who have studied the law all their lives. And they were so amazed. How come these 12-year-old boys know so much? But what they did not know is the same Word that they've studied all their life was sitting right in front of them. And now the Word grew. And you heard the Word never said, thus saith the Lord. All the prophets down through the ages came and said, thus saith the Lord. But the Word never said, thus saith the Lord. The Word said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Why? The Word was walking. The Word was touching. The Word was raising the dead. The Word was healing. The Word was feeding the hungry. Amen. Somebody talk to me. Amen. Amen. And so when you open the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, is none other than Jesus. And I look into Genesis. Genesis, He's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, He's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He's my high priest. In Numbers, He's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, He's the prophet like unto Moses. He said, Pastor, what about the historical books? Yes, He's there. In Joshua, He's the captain of the host. In Judges, He's the judge and the lawgiver. In Ruth, He's the kingsman redeemer. And 1st and 2nd Samuel, He's the trusted prophet. And 1st King, 2nd King, 1st Chronicle, 2nd Chronicle, He's the reigning king. In Ezra, He's the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, He's the rebuilder of the wall. In Esther, He's our Mordecai. Amen. And you say, Pastor, what about those Psalms and the writing? In Job, He's my ever-living redeemer. In the book of Psalm, He's the Lord my shepherd and I shall not want. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, He's my wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, He's my bridegroom and my lover. And what about the prophets? Oh, yes, He's there. In Isaiah, He's the suffering servant. In Jeremiah, He's the righteous branch. In Lamentation, He's my weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, He's the son of man. And in Daniel, He's the fourth man. In Hosea, all the women will like it. He's the faithful husband. Amen. And in Joel, He's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. In Amos, He's the burden bearer. In Obadiah, He's the mighty to save. In Jonah, He's the forgiving God. In Micah, He's the messenger with the beautiful feet. In Nahum, He's the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, He's the evangelist in the wilderness who's crying for revival. And Zephaniah, He's the restorer of the remnant. In Haggai, He's the owner of the silver and gold, not Rio Tinto. Come on, somebody talk to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And in Zechariah, He's the pierced son. And Malachi, He's the son of righteousness that coming with healing in His wings. Oh, what about the new covenant? Yes, He's there. In Matthew, He's my Messiah. In the book of Mark, He's the miracle worker. In the book of Luke, He's the Son of Man. In the book of John, He's the Son of God. In the book of Acts, He's the ascended Lord. In the book of Romans, He's my justifier. In the book of 1 Corinthians, He's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Second Corinthians, he's the resurrection and life. In the book of Galatians, he's the Christ who redeems you from the curse of the law. And Ephesians, he's the Christ's unsearchable riches. In Philippians, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. And in Colossians, he's the fullness of God. And 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he's the soon coming king. And 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, he's my mediator. And Titus, he's my faithful pastor. In Philemon, he's a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. And in Hebrews, he's the blood covenant. And in James, he's the great physician. And 1 and 2 Peter, he's the chief shepherd. And 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, he's everlasting love. And in the book of Jude, he's the Lord coming with 10,000 saints. And in the book of Revelation, he's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Somebody say hallelujah. So when you take the Word of God, it is none other than Jesus. Somebody said, Pastor, your Bible is falling apart. I said, that's why I'm not. Are you with me? It's none other than Jesus. Now, let me say, ask you something. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Every word that proceedeth out of the Father's mouth. Now, he quoted it from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. Now, let me ask you a question. That means Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the Father's mouth. Is that right? Okay. Now, so how many now believe that all the blessing that you'll ever need is in the Word of God? Come on, talk to me now. Is that right? So that means you can live in the Word. Is that right? Now, when you begin to live in the Word, you will not run after money. Money will run after you. When you begin to live in the Word, you don't have to run after jobs. Jobs will run after you. Come on, talk to me. Amen. Because why? The Word has all the blessing. Come on. Is that right? Amen. So, are you learning something? Are you getting hold of it? Praise God. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, let me take you a bit further. Now, the Word of God has an ingredient, a supernatural ingredient no other word can give you. It is called faith. It is called faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Hello. You know, what I'm trying to tell you is how important the word is. Today, you know, people don't even carry their Bibles to church. We're raising a society. I want to tell you, when the devil knocks at your door, you can't sing Hillsong. You better know it is written. Now, Hillsong is good. I'm not saying anything. Don't send me emails now. But I'm just making a point. You see, you need to know what is written. Come on. Are you with me? It's very important. So that's why you got to be grounded in the Word. Amen. All right. So faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. Now, saints of God, in Galatians 3:9, it says, the Word of God says, we are blessed with a faithful Abraham. Now, have you ever thought about where did Abraham get faith? In verse Galatians 3:8 says, now this is good homework for you. Galatians 3:8 says, you know, the gospel was preached to Abraham first. So when gospel was preached, Abraham received faith. Every time you receive the word, faith is born in your heart. Amen. Praise God. Pastor, you are leading, and the Lord gave me this word to give you both, because God has brought you here with a purpose and a plan. And the Lord planted a seed. It may look a small seed, but it has great potential and it has gigantic power in it. So you've taken the first move. That is not the first move. That is only a beginning. That's only a stepping stone. And I see a greater harvest for you. And you're not just a local church. And God told you that. And you will impact, because I see your hand stretched to the right. I see your hand stretched to the left. And I want you to know that this is only God. What you see is only a little bit of what God has for you. You know, as you go, just know there are greater things. As he led the children of Israel, cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, so will he lead you, step by step, saith the Lord. You will never lack in provision. Because God has already gone before you, and he says, because you always walk and be in the center of God's will, he says, my will is my bill. Amen. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. My brother, you know, I want to tell you that God will give you breakthroughs in your work. Amen. Amen. God's favor will go before you. Amen. You will never struggle for work nor finances. Because Amen. I speak over you right now. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Now, let's talk about faith. Amen. The word is all about faith. Is that right? All right. Now, saints of God, Ephesians 1:3 says, you all know the scripture, that we are blessed with some spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You didn't correct me. Let me ask you. Should I say, no, that's wrong. All right. See, that's why I check out this preacher. Okay, one more time. It says, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Correct. Yeah. Not some, all spiritual blessings. Now, Jesus said in John 10, that I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Now, you know, the Word of God says we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Correct? Yes. Is that right? Yes. Okay. So now, let's assume that you've gone to Woolies or Coles, and you bought a lot of groceries, and you're pushing the cart to the teller or cashier, and now you're about to pay, and she says, yeah, I've scanned everything and it's $200. And you can't lift your hand and say, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He says, I need the dollars. Is that right? When the rent is due, you can't go to the landlord and say, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And he will say, hit the road, Jack. So Ephesians 1:3 and John 10:10 must have a connection. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and life more abundantly where? Right here. Is that right? So let me explain to you. You see, the Word of God is the ladder that takes you from the natural realm to the supernatural realm. And as you climb in the Word of God, as you take hold of the Word now produces faith like two hands to take what is in the spiritual realm and bring it down into the natural realm.
Amen.
Are you with me? All your needs are already met. All you need is this book. Are you with me? All right. Now. I can go on and go on, but let me go into the blood. Is that okay? Hey, did you learn anything?
Amen.
All right. So this is very important. If you forget me, that's fine. But don't forget this. Are you with me? When you wake up, open your eyes to the Word. Amen. All right. Now, let me take you a bit further. Now, saints of God, the Lord said, live in the Word. Stay under the blood. Right? Thank you, Lord. Now, you see, Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. Hello? Are you with me? So it says, what does it say? I'll simplify it. It says, I declare I overcome Satan by personally declaring what the word says the blood of Jesus does for me. Can I say it again? I overcome the enemy by personally declaring what the Word of God says the blood of Jesus does for me. So when I know what the blood has done for me, I declare it out of this mouth. Hello?
Amen.
For example, Hebrews 12:24 says, you know, the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel.
Yeah.
I'll put something into your heart. Say after me, the voice of the blood of Jesus. Come on, you can do better than that. Say after me, voice of the blood of Jesus.
Voice of God.
speaks better things for me. One more time. The voice of the blood of Jesus is greater than any other voice in Jesus' name. Think about it. When the devil whispers in your ear, you got better know the blood of Jesus, the voice of the blood is greater than any other voice. Glory to Jesus. Are you with me? Amen. And the blood always speaks better things for me and for you. Are you hearing? Amen. And so I just want to tell you, you know, the power of the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood, the veil was torn into two. Because of the blood, today you can boldly go into the holiest of holies and commune with God. Amen. Because of the blood, that blood avails and the blood speaks for you and me. You know why the lot of Christians are victims? Because they don't know what the blood is doing for them. When you don't know, then you cannot declare. Let the Redeemer of the Lord keep their mouth shut. Say so. So we got to say it. Hello? Amen. We got to declare it. God has delivered me from the powers of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sin. Amen. Amen. So now you can declare it. Rather than gossiping, what about declaring the word? It'll profit you and your household. I never forget. I was preaching in Oklahoma for T.L. Osborne. Anybody know T.L. Osborne? When he was living. And we had about 300 students. He had students from all over. And I remember when I gave the altar call, there was a lady, there was many in the altar, and I came down, and the Lord said, go and pray for her first. And so I went, and I prayed for her first, and the Lord gave me the words to pray for her. And the Lord said, you pray this way. And everything the Lord asked me to do, I just did. I prayed, Lord, I take the Passover blood of the Lamb of God, the blood of Jesus. I declare it, appropriate it over her cell and over her gene, and I command it to be healed in Jesus' name. The power of God hit her, and she went under the power, and later she came, and she said, you know what? I was dying. Because I went to the doctors, and the doctors did all the research on me. They found nothing can... doctors can do because it has affected her gene. But I have good news for you. The blood of Jesus is able to touch your gene. Amen. 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 Praise God. And so at the end, we're going to pray. Is that okay? We're going to declare the blood. Amen. Because, you know, I can pray for you, but if I teach you how to pray, you can do it all the time.
Amen.
Is that right? Praise God. You see, we don't need to have healing crusade because every Sunday ought to be healing crusade. Yes. Because you sent His word and healed our diseases. Yes. Amen. Yes. Praise God. Every Sunday you got to be healed. Yes. Because two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Yes. When the word goes, you will get healed. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right, so watch me with 20/20 vision now. Why? Because word can heal your eyes. Come on, talk to me now. Yes. Amen. So don't forget to stay under the blood. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They love not their life even unto death. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. Can you take a bit more? Yes. Are you sure?
Yes.
All right. Yes. What time do you finish, Pastor? Are you sure you can take a bit more?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Now, let me remind you, because I don't want you to forget. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you come to church? You need to know you should have a purpose. You ask Rabbi, and I always repeat this in my church. You know, you come to church because you want to store up godly knowledge. Is that right? Because Proverbs 10:14 says, a wise man storeth up godly knowledge. Are you with me? And Jesus said, God's word says, my people perish. Lack of music? Lack of social activities? Come on. Lack of knowledge. And the word destroy is a combat term. He said they are destroyed because lack of knowledge. The more I have His knowledge, the more I'm secure.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
And that's why it is worthwhile taking the time. Amen. So when you come to church, have a purpose in your heart.
Amen.
You're coming for godly knowledge.
Amen.
I'm coming to store up godly knowledge. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
All right. Now, we must walk in the Spirit. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, the last verse. But before I quote the verse, let me just put this into your spirit. I want you to know, if I say to you 2S, you will never forget. First of all, remember, there is no substitute for the Holy Spirit. First S. The second S is you all must be always sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And that's very important. First, remember, there's no substitute for the Holy Spirit. And the second, you got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, saints of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, the last verse. You know, a lot of time preachers finish with this. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit. There you are. Thank you, my brother. Be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Is that right? But that scripture is more than a word of benediction. It's got amazing truth in it. My sister at the back, I want you to know, God says to you, don't fear. Don't fear. We at the back, don't fear. Because Isaiah 41 and verse 10, it's a scripture God is giving it to you. He says, fear not. Fear not. Don't be discouraged. Because I'm with you. I'll help you. My right hand will uphold you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. There's a sister that you suffer from migraine headaches. I don't want you to pull you because, you know. But, you know, sometimes you're frightened to go to doctor because you think there is something wrong, something in your head. But I want you to know, Dr. Jesus is healing you right now.
Amen.
Completely, he's healing you. I want you to know that you don't have to take any tablets from now because Jesus has healed you.
Amen.
Now, there's somebody else, you've gone to the doctor, and for a long time, you have iron deficiency. But right now, Dr. Jesus is healing you.
Amen.
Isn't that good? Dr. Jesus. Because Jesus is in our midst.
Amen.
Amen. Now there's a sister. You know, you have this fear in your heart. And that it's about your family. You know, I will not get married and I won't have this and I won't have that. But I want you to know God has good things in store for you. He will never shortchange you. God will not fail you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. God is good.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Now that word, koinonia, in that word, a communion, is an amazing word. It means, number one, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Are you with me? Pray without ceasing. And we know Romans 8:26 says, the Holy Spirit, we don't know what to pray, how to pray. Even if you know what to pray, we don't know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit helps us. Are you with me? There was a pastor in Sweden. You know, he told me this story. He said, you know, I had a little boy, 11 or 12-year-old boy. I prayed for him and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he went to sleep with his dad. And then next morning, I asked him a question, he said. I asked him a question, and I asked the father, did you sleep well? He said, no, I did not sleep well. My son was making noise all night. And then he asked the son, did you sleep well? He said, I slept like a baby. Even while his son was sleeping, the son was praying. Are you with me? You see, when the Holy Spirit takes hold of you, even while when you are sleeping, he's praying through you.
Mm.
Amen. Pray without ceasing. But also that word communion, also it means not only pray without ceasing, it also means the presence of God. You all know Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be a witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. Is that right?
Yes.
Come on, talk to me now.
Amen.
Amen. So where? So what does it mean? It means whenever the Holy Spirit is present, the power of God is present. Is that right? So the Holy Spirit is the presence of God. He is the presence of God. When He comes, He ushers in the presence of God. Is that right? Now, there's a difference between the presence of God and the power of God. I don't have time to share with you now. Maybe next time. The presence of God causes you to be what God wants you to be. But the power of God causes you to do what God wants you to do. See, right at this moment, the presence of God doesn't come and go. It always abides with you. Because John 14, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit abide with you forever. Come on, talk to me now. Amen. Is that right? But right now, I need the power of God to minister. So I have the anointing that gives me the power of God to minister to you. Come on. Is that right? So the presence of God causes you to be what God wants you to be, but the power of God causes you to do what God wants you to do. Amen. Yes. But also, the word communion, are you learning something? Amen. Are you getting hold of this? Amen. Amen. I want you to put it into practice. Amen. Now, also the word communion means sharing together. You know, there is no greater teacher than the Holy Spirit. John 14, 26, Jesus said, He will teach you all things. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, how many of you all been to school? Can I see your hand? Oh, I like you. Right? Now, when you went to school, the teacher taught you, and when the examination came or comes, they will give you an examination paper, and they will not help you, but you'll have to answer that paper. Will that be right? And then, having answered, you give it back to the teacher and the teacher will mark it for you. Tell you whether you passed the exam or you failed the exam. Correct. Is that right? Yes. All right. But I know a teacher who will not only teach me, but when the examination comes, he will sit with me and make sure I pass the test. His name is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why? Because if you walk with Him, you will never fail any test.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I think last month I was speaking at Derek Prince conference, and this young man comes to me and he says to me, "You know, Pastor, you said," he asked me this question. "You said you preached and you said every answer is in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can teach you and give you all the answers from the Word of God." But he said, "You know, the world has so many problems, there are only 66 books in the Word of God." And you mean to say that all the problems in the world can be answered by 66 books? And you know, the Holy Spirit gave me a marvelous answer because He's my teacher. You know what He said? He gave me an example, so I explained to him. "You know what? Remember that keyboard?" And he said, I said to him, "It has limited keys. A piano has a limited keys. But an accomplished pianist will sit and bring forth out of that limited keys limitless melodies." Are you with me? And so, see, when you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, He wrote the 66 books, but He can bring every answer to it from the 66 books. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. Now, the word communion also, can you take a little more?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Now, also that word communion also means fellowship. He's leading and I'm following. He's leading and I'm following. I remember I was preaching in Dallas or somewhere, and I was taking this flight from Dallas to LA. And I remember the Lord was telling me, "You know, take and buy a first class ticket." I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And I got into the aircraft, and there was last two seats in the first class, and I was the window seat, and the aisle seat was vacant. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, I've done a good job for Jesus, and so He's rewarding me. And normally in the flights, I write my book, so I plan it for do the books. So I took all my things and put it on the seat. He gave me a vacant seat, and I was starting to write. Nobody came for a long, long time. And when the aircraft was about to be closed, a woman walks in. She looks $1 million. Briefcase and, you know, suit, and walks in hurriedly. And then she comes to that seat. So immediately I pack everything, put it up, and I thought, my seat is gone. And she sat there. And now the plane has taken off, and the Lord said, talk to her. I said, Lord, you want me to talk to her? I said, yes, yes, yes. I said, I'm shy. I don't want to talk. But anyway, this conversation is going between me and the Lord. And finally, I began to talk to her, and I said, you know, are you going home? Or, you know, then I broke the ice, and we began to talk. And then she said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a lecturer. I didn't tell her I'm a preacher. What do you lecture? I said, I lecture in sociology, economics, medicine. Hey, the Word of God covers everything. Is that right? And I began to, and so while I'm talking to her, the Lord said, tell her about your testimony. So I'm telling her, you know, how I was a Hindu and how God appeared to me, how I got saved. And then suddenly at the end of it, the Lord said to me, share with her about her life. So everything God is telling me, I'm sharing with her. This is your life story. This is where you are right now. And now she begins to cry. All the mascara is coming down. And now the hairdresser is coming, and she's seeing this lady is crying and giving her tissues, and she's must be wondering what this guy has done to this lady. But I said, it's okay. Cut the story short. I led her to the Lord on the plane. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are about to land in LA. And she said to me, sir, you know, you don't know me. Is that right? And I said, madam, I don't know you. And she said, I'm glad you don't know me. She said, I own a company that is on the top 23 of the Forbes list. That's my company. I never fly commercial, never. I have my own jet. And 4 o'clock in the morning, me and my pilot, we came, and some reason or the other, I couldn't take off. There was a problem with my flight, and I couldn't lease another jet. So I have an urgent meeting, and I had to take this aircraft, a commercial one. And I said, lady, God had an appointment with you. Amen. But you see, this is what I want to tell you. When you walk with the Holy Spirit, you are at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. Amen. All right. Now, so fellowship with him. In other words, he's leading, and I am following. But the word communion also means participation. He will participate with you in the things of the gospel. I remember speaking in an African country. Is that okay? Last two, and then I'll pray for you. All right? Because I want to encourage you. God is no respecter of person. What God has done for me, he can do for you. Amen. I'm excited to come and speak to you. You know why? Because I know where God's going to take you. When you build your new building, there'll be thousands of people. I'm speaking by faith. I'm speaking to you. You know, remember, don't despise the small beginning. And some of you, you know, you will say, oh, this is small. No. This is the time to hold on.
Amen.
Because the reward is coming.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. He will participate with you in the things of gospel. And I was preaching in this African country. And I remember there was about 4,000 or 5,000 people in the healing crusade, and there were steps down, and I saw this lady, young lady, carrying this old lady in her hand, and she walked down the stairs. And the Lord healed her. And later I understood that she was crippled for 7 or 8 years, and that day she walked. So next morning, the pastor had a call from the army, and they asked the pastor whether this pastor can come to the army barracks. So he rang me in the hotel and he said, can I come? I said, sure, because it's good to share the gospel. And so the next morning, the army chaplain came, pastor, and took me to the barracks. And so there I am. I'm standing for about half an hour, and the officer comes and says, army commander will see you now. So walk in, there are two guards, and this is a short man, and he has all the badges and his hat and everything. He said, last night my lieutenant came to your service, and her mother was healed. And she will not take a no for an answer. She wants me to talk to you today, and so I have 5 minutes. That's all I have. I'm a busy man. So I say, I didn't know what to do. I said, can I pray for you? He said, sure. So I'm praying now. 5 minutes I have, two bodyguards on both sides. I'm praying for the army commander. And as I was praying, the Lord said, tell him he has two daughters. I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, he's the army commander. The Holy Spirit said, I know. So I'm having this conversation while I'm praying. So finally I stopped. I said, sir, you have two daughters. And he said, he didn't say anything. And I said, see now you say, oh, he's a great prophet. No, I'm only a postman. Everything God is saying to me, I'm just telling him. That's not a big deal, is that right? So I'm saying, okay, I said, oh, you know what? You went last Saturday to the shop. And you brought two dresses for two daughters. And I'm describing the dress exactly what the Lord said to me. And immediately he said, stop. And he said to the two bodyguards, can you leave? And from 5 minutes, he gave me 45 minutes. So I shared everything. And then he said, now you need to pray for me. So I prayed for him. So I laid hands on him and I began to pray. And as I pray, he was going down. So I was holding him in this hand. I said, Lord, whatever you do, please don't let him go down. Because if the bodyguards comes in and see the army command on the floor, I'm kaput. I prayed for him. Next morning, the story goes this way. The next morning, he rang and he said, can you come? Because I want you to address all the officers and everybody, but I want to do something for you. So he had me on the podium with him, and the band played, you know, all those things. And then he took me for lunch, and he shared this with me. He said, I was a freedom fighter. I was in Robben Island for 10 years, and they beat me so badly. And he said, I couldn't have any children. The doctor said, I can't have any children. But I cried out to Jesus, and I said, Jesus, if you're real, give me children. And the Lord gave me miraculously, even though doctors said I can't have children, God gave me two beautiful daughters. When you said the two daughters, I knew it was God. Are you with me? And I want to tell you, you see, the Holy Spirit will always participate with you in the gospel. Amen? And the last. Have you taken enough? He's the greatest friend you can ever have. He's the greatest friend. The word communion means friendship. He's the greatest friend you can ever have. Let me give you an example. The reason I'm sharing the testimony is because you will say, you can go and say, Holy Spirit, you know what? If you can do it for him, you can do it for me. Amen?
Amen.
I remember going to preach in LA or somewhere else. So I took the flight from Perth to Sydney, Sydney to Los Angeles. So now I'm going, and I have an economy class ticket. So I'm at Sydney Airport. There's a queue waiting. See, he's my friend, right? The Holy Spirit is my friend. So I'm at the queue, and as we are walking to board the aircraft, there's a big queue. I got my boarding pass, and I said, Holy Spirit, wouldn't it be nice that we both fly first class? He's my friend. Come on, I'm challenging you. He's my friend. I said, wouldn't it be nice? You know, then we have a bigger chair, and I'll be comfortable, and you can teach me the word of God, and when we arrive, I'll be fresh to do your work. Is that right?
Amen.
And so I just talked to him, and I just walked up, and I gave the lady the boarding pass, and as I gave the lady the boarding pass, and she took the boarding pass, and she put it into this machine, and the whole computer system went blink. So now, the Qantas is trying to work this out, and I don't know, now it's 20 minutes, 15 minutes, the computers won't come on. And the queue is getting so long. And you know what happened? They had to manually seat the passengers. Pastor, guess where I got in? First class. Now, so I've flown first class, and I preach at the Bible school, and I'm telling this testimony to these guys. You know what? This is what the Lord did. So a young man at the end comes and tells me, "Pastor, it's one off. It'll never happen again." So on the way back, you know, when I came to the airport, I remembered what this young man said. He said, "Only once." So I walked back to my counter. I'm about to board. I said, "Lord, you know what? He said only once it's going to happen." So I gave the boarding pass. And the girl, this time, the lady didn't just put it in and give it back to me. No. She typed something else and gave me a new boarding pass. It was 4D. I said, "Are you sure 4D? Yes, 4D. So I walked in, and now I was about to walk towards the economy class, and the lady said, "No, sir, you're here, right in front." I said, "Thank you, Jesus." So I walk, and it's first class, 4D. And you know who was next to me? Was Peter Beattie. He was the Premier of Queensland at that time. The sleeper, I mean, you know, I said, "Lord, I'm King's kid." It was good for the Prime Minister. I mean, I'm King the man. Come on. Are you with me? Because why? I had a good friend called the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, I want to encourage you today. Live in the Word. Every time you read the Word, remember it has the life of God in it. Remember this Word coexisted with God from the beginning. Remember it has the power to manifest. Remember you can live in the Word. All the blessings will follow you. Remember it will produce faith. And from Genesis to Revelation is none other than Jesus. When you read the Word, you know, I always study the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John every day. You know why? Because I want to walk with Jesus. When I read the gospel, I walk with Jesus. Amen. Just like he fed the 5,000, my sister, God will feed you. Never fear. The ravens will never be late. They will be on time. Your well is running over. God is, amen.
Amen.
Bless you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And never forget to stay under the blood. And we're going to pray in a moment. You see, I want to tell you how important the blood of Jesus is. It's a covenant blood. When you declare the blood, the Lord sees, because it is the blood that brings the anointing. It's the blood that protects. It's the blood that gives life. Amen.
Amen.
And never forget to walk with the Holy Spirit. When you're driving, just say, "Holy Spirit, you know, why don't you sit with me?" You know, talk to him constantly. He'll be your best friend. There is no better friend than the Holy Spirit. Never read the Word of God without him. Amen.
Amen.
Did you receive anything from the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord.